Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the member conduct for the new session. And I would like to welcome the new councillors that were elected on in this last election. And I'd like to welcome the re-elected and congratulate everybody for their effort. Can I just say that? Would you please note that this meeting will be recorded and that the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website, charnwood.gov.uk/pages/committees. In addition, please be advised that under the openness of local government bodies, regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, treat or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to Democratic Services Officer who is administering this meeting. Thank you. Have we got any apologies?
No.
Minutes of the previous meeting, have you all had the opportunity to read them? Are they all correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you all wish then that I sign the minutes?
Yeah.
I do know that, of course. Do we have any disclosures of pecuniary or personal interest? No? Thank you. Questions under committee procedure 12.8. No questions have been received. I'm going to hand over now to Karen for an update on complaints received.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Karen Middleton in my role as Deputy Monitoring Officer. So the report has set out, explains that one new complaint has been received in the municipal year 2018-19, which actually took the number of complaints up to 13. No complaints have been received thus far in the municipal year which started 2019-20. There was a new case that came in the previous municipal year related to a borough councillor and a posting made on social media. No further action was required as the councillor had deleted the posting after the complaint was made. The other matter I'd like to raise to your attention is that in respect of the hearing on the 27th of February 2019 in respect of former councillor David Hayes, it should be noted that he withdrew his appeal against the decision of the member conduct panel. However, a written apology that the panel requested has never been sent to the head of planning and regeneration. And therefore, I've highlighted this as the committee may wish to ask for some actions to be made in this respect. Other than that, this report is for noting, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions?
No questions.
Right. Would you like to comment then on the former councillor's lack of?
Well, I think it's a shame that he hasn't. For those of us that were there, myself and Joan, were both at that meeting. I think he really should have done. I think he's probably never going to do it now. Now he's no longer a councillor. I think it's regrettable. And I think the fact he's no longer a councillor is probably the best thing for him. It's a shame that he was one of us, a Conservative member. I know that's got nothing to do with it, either which way, but I just feel very sorry that it was any member at all who said what he said, and he really should have offered that apology and carried it through and done it. It would have cost him nothing. At the meeting that we were at, he wasn't very, all he could think about, he never even came close to an apology, did he? Yes, I'm not surprised, I just think it's shameful that he hasn't there.
Yeah, just completely agree, Councillor Bentley. I think it is really regrettable that the apology has not been forthcoming.
In terms of what we do next as a committee, I think we're probably better off leaving it and just accepting that the apology is not going to be forthcoming and not wasting any more time on it, because I'm conscious it's going to have taken up quite a lot of officer and councillor time dealing with something that should never have happened in the first place. And I agree again with Councillor Bentley about the fact that as he's no longer a councillor, that's probably the best course of action and the best outcome that we could have hoped for anyway. So
are you putting that through as a proposal then?
I would that we just leave it and accept that we've tried, we've done what we can within the powers available to the committee and the panel that met at the time, but we've not been able to achieve the outcome we wanted, but we're not prepared to waste any more time pursuing it because we think it's unlikely that it's going to come forward.
Mm. Yeah, I'll second that.
You're second. All in favour?
It's not in the public interest,
it is. No. Yeah.
Thank you.
Review of the local government ethical standards by the Committee on Standards in Public Life, item 6.
Thank you, Chairman. So, Karen Goodison speaking. So this report sets out the government, the response that was undertaken and the response to the Standards in Public Life consultation. The government will be responding to the recommendations that are set out in the appendix, which I'll run through very briefly. Some do require primary legislation and others are good practice. As a highlight, I'll go through the main areas that were looked at. So the main areas that were looked at were the code of conduct, sanctions, which this committee made comments on as part of the consultation process, the role of the independent person, the monitoring officer, and the standards committee, and the support for parishes. So, looking first at the code of conduct, the first area, the recommendations are set out on page 16 from that consultation. And one of the, in very brief summary, there is a recommendation that there should be a new model rules-based code produced by the LGA. There should actually be a code that is the same across geographical areas to avoid confusion between members who sit on different types of councils, be it parish or a borough, and there's a consistency across the authority. And also that it would be a criminal offence, the criminal offence for non-registration and non-declaration of disclosure pecuniary interests would be abolished. So that's recommendations in that area. In terms of sanctions, I know this committee felt quite strongly about that, and the recommendations are that the council should have the power to suspend members for up to 6 months without allowances. The independent person would need to agree that there had been a breach of code and that a suspension was a proportionate outcome. If this, the further recommendation was that if a suspended member would be able to appeal to the local government ombudsman against the outcome of the case, and also the government should make clear what other administrative sanctions are available to the council. The third area that was looked at was the role of the independent person, monitoring officer, and standards committee. And they concluded that there needs to be greater independence in the system, so that the role of the independent person should be enhanced in some way, and the monitoring officer should be supported and protected as well. And in addition, the role of the standards committee should be enhanced in some way. It's interesting to note in the recommendations that in the penultimate bullet point, it does say council should have a standards committee, and that standards committees should be able to co-opt independent persons and parish representatives. That's actually something that happens already at Charmwood, so it's a good practice, but it's happening already. And then the fourth area was around the parish councils having, in terms of having significant problems in terms of code of conduct type issues, and actually giving them some more support in terms of training and access to training, particularly parish clerks should be a holder suitable qualification, and that there should be greater recognition of the role of the monitoring officer in supporting parishes should there be resourced accordingly. And overall there was recommendations about the promotion of high standards and making sure that standards were seen as the heart of the organisation. So that's an overall very brief summary of the main recommendations that came out of it. Are there anything that anybody would like to highlight, discuss? I mean, that at this point in time we are still waiting for government to respond to the recommendations, and once we know that, a further report will come back once we have those recommendations.
Councillor Bentley.
Very good. 6 months. Can you just remind me how long, if a councillor doesn't attend a full council meeting for a period of time, by default they're no longer a councillor, is that 6 months? Because if
yes.
It is, if you get banned for 6 months, effectively you're no longer a councillor then.
Unless you had a dispensation that goes.
Well, the dispensation would be is that you've been banned, effectively, so that's actually not dispensation, is it? So if it was 5 months, it'd be okay. 6 months, effectively, you're out.
I mean, that's something the government, when they respond, will probably, would imagine, pick up on the fact that legislation says it is 6 months. But that's the recommendation.
Constitutionally, we would be able to work something out in terms of if we've been suspended for 6 months, that probably trumps the...
I'm not wrong,
6 months.
Yeah, but it's an interesting observation.
Yes.
Just briefly, are we asked here to simply to note the current situation, or are we expected to do any preparation for a change?
So on page 13 we've got the recommendation, and the recommendation is that the committee be informed of the results of the consultation and the recommendations as summarised in the appendix, and continue to monitor the response by the government. So we are, this is essentially an information item, noting this and to monitor it once the government comes back with
So if you wish to, you could add it to your work programme to be scheduled.
And once it's come back from the government, we should have to relook at our constitution as to what. I mean, we could change it to sit from 6 to 5 in our constitution, couldn't we?
But it would be good practice to wait for the government.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. To wait until if it does come through for 6 months, then we could check. We've got a review of the constitution in December.
Yeah, but so depending on timing, it could actually be that if this came in, it didn't give you time to change the constitution, then we was caught up in this effectively in the meantime. Just a thought.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to fish for. Is there anything we need to do just in preparation, just in case? Rather than the monitoring, is there something we can feed the PA? I don't know.
We have been pretty severe to sanction somebody for 6 months.
I mean, we are coming up to the end of June now, and actually at the end of August I start the process off for the next review of the constitution. So maybe what I should be doing is as part of that annual review, starting that process, we can look at that at that point. But if we would you like to put it into the work programme?
I think it would be sensible to do so.
Yes,
because we can have some almost settled views beforehand, so we know what we'd like to do, as it were.
Yeah.
And so, in the work programme, as part of the annual review, clearly if the government did come back before then, I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest, because the government's quite busy doing other things at the moment, and then there is the summer recess. So I think it will probably... I think it could time quite well for our annual review. I start at the end of August, beginning of September, so I could fit that into that piece of work as well.
I suppose, question to Deborah Moran, I suppose some of it we might not have a choice about accepting. If it becomes legislation, we'll just have to accept, so we just need to keep a watching brief on what's going on, so we can start preparing for it as soon as we can. I think it needs to go into the work programme, because if nothing else, we can delay it, can't we, if the government haven't made their minds up.
Some of it is good practice, so there's no reason why.
You couldn't adopt.
Chair, as I understand it, the 6 months is up to 6 months. It's not necessarily that
the person's going to get 6 months.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's whatever the panel decides up to.
Up to.
And as I understood it, I wasn't around then, but as I understand it, that's exactly what was in the standards requirements. Was it up until 2012?
Yes, that's right.
When it changed. So it's a reverting back what was there before.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It was taken out and now it's been put back in. Are we all happy then that we put it into the work programme? When would you want it? When's going to be the most convenient time for you?
I was just going to clarify, so under the annual review of the constitution, I'll put some extra wording in that you will take into consideration any results from the CSPL feedback, and then if you wanted to put it in as an additional item on its own to review the government's response, just leave it as to be scheduled, because then we can add it in when we know more close to the time when the actual government is going to respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
okay
with everybody.
Can I ask a question? When,
yes, kind of.
When you add these things in the constitution, you're adding these things with the proposal of?
It's the new legislation for
I think the local government of ethical standards was reviewed by the Committee on Standards in Public Life.
So effectively it is actually the central authority which is dictating actually the local authorities what the standards might be. Mm-hmm. And do we have any powers actually just to oppose it or not, or it is given? Done.
So some of the recommendations, the government needs to respond to these recommendations at the moment. They are only recommendations. Some of the recommendations will require primary legislation. So, and others are, other of the recommendations are recommendations, and they're mainly good practice. So we could, in terms of the good practice recommendations, we could look at reviewing our constitution with those in mind, because they're good practice. It's about unpicking which ones would require the legislation changes and others which are just, like the, for example, the training, a suitable qualification for parish council, parish clerks. I'm sure that won't be require legislation, but that's a good practice. So there's things, so it's unpicking which bits require legislation, which bits are good practice.
Thank you.
We're all quite happy then that we put that into the work programme. We're going to do it 2nd of December? Is that the one, or is that too late?
No, that's the
2nd of December.
So Carol Middleton again, and the work programme is set out in the appendix. This is the new municipal year. The work programme spans the meetings for September 2019, December 2019, and March 2020.
I'm sorry, Carol, but can I go back, because I've got a note in my on here that we're going to also review the constitution with regards to appeals.
Yeah, I haven't got to that yet, actually. I was just going to explain
that. Okay, all right.
So, on page 20 and 21, we've got the work programme set out. So if I go through each of these one by one, so update on complaints received. This is a standing item which we've already received on the agenda tonight, so that comes back as a standing item each meeting. Review of the constitution, which we do every year. We've also just added to that the part of the review into the standards committee, those five recommendations from that. Regular review of the members' code of conduct and planning code, and that's scheduled for December as well. Next item under those, the register of members' interests. Now, this is an update you get about how many members have responded positively. When I say members, I mean parish and borough councillors who have responded positively to the 6 monthly reminders we send out, asking them to update their register of interest form. You might think there's a bit of a gap, but because we've had the elections in May, normally we'd be doing that in September, but I think let's get back into the cycle of 6 months, so that will be the December meeting. We've just talked about the results of the public consultation, which was going to be part of the constitution review and that item itself. And then the chairman just mentioned about the hearing appeals process. So this is something that was raised at the last meeting about as part of the review of the constitution to also look at the appeal process. The current process is where an appeal can be submitted in writing irrespective of the content of the appeal that's potentially raised in officer or house at the time, and that the constitution in relation to the appeal process should be reviewed. So there was concerns that I think some members that were here previously know we should speak a little bit more about that. So that needs to be scheduled in.
Well, we don't seem to have much for the September the 9th meeting. There seems to be all I've gone on to December. The December one.
Actually,
is there anything that can could be brought forward so that we can have something to talk about in December, in September?
They're all relating to the constitution, which I don't start the process till September, so I don't have anything until December for you. And the register of members' interest, that would normally be September, but because of the elections, it's only right we put that back till December.
Right, well, can I ask then, as the chairman, and I hope they'll all agree with me, that we have in the past cancelled meetings because we've had nothing to talk about. If this should happen in September, this is all going to come through in December because it's all to do with the constitution. If by any chance we've not got anything in September, can we have an update by email on the complaints?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done that before,
yeah,
haven't we? Well, we just have an email to let us know what complaints are coming forward or have gone through. And that's it. So we are at least kept up to date. And that is only if there's nothing to talk about,
yeah,
on the meeting on the 9th of September. Does it all agree?
Yeah, Chair, I think that makes sense. I think the December one's going to be quite a heavy one, mm-hmm, rightfully so, because we've got quite a few, and usually quite a few changes we're looking at in our constitution. So I think we just need to be, as members on this committee, prepared to put the work in before that December meeting, really, to make sure we're all fully briefed on the changes we're looking at. Because I can see that being quite a heavy meeting, which is absolutely fine. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can I clarify the hearing appeals process? Would you like that adding in for December?
I would suggest so, just because we're keeping it all together. I think it'd be silly to do it a couple of months before and then do the rest of the changes when we need full council to approve them, don't we? So
yes,
we may as well wait until December, do the morning one hit, and then get full council to hopefully endorse them afterwards.
You're all in favour of that?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we dealing with in September then? Is it me? I can't.
This is why I've asked. If something comes forward that we need to meet for, then we'll have the meeting on September.
I thought that's what you meant.
If not, then I've asked that just the list of complaints received is sent out to the members,
okay,
just to keep us up to date, and then we'll have the big meeting in December.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, we may have a meeting in September, yeah, we don't know, something could come through. Adrian could have something up his sleeve or something, you don't know, but
yeah,
at the moment we've got nothing. Okay, so we're all in favour of that then. Thank you very much. We've got the meeting dates for the 2019-20, and that completes the meeting at 18:25.
Can we briefly go through these dates, just in case I have made a big